Okay, hi, I'm Jerome Davis. I'm the Artistic Director of Burning Coal Theater Company. Welcome to Into the Fire, Burning Coal Theater Company's podcast series about all things theater and beyond. Today's guest is one of my favorite people in Raleigh and really one of my favorite people, and that is Charles Meeker, who served the city of Raleigh as mayor for 10 years. Charles, welcome.
Well, Jerry, thank you for that kind introduction. It's always great to be here at Burning Coal.
Thank
you. An outstanding production company.
Here on the Meeker stage, as it turns out. What's going on in your life? Anything interesting right
well,
now?
Well, a couple of things. I've been out of public office now 4 years, and both of our children have gotten married, and we have a grandchild as well. So that's a special time in our lives for my wife and me. And also, now the political bug has sort of bitten me again, and I'm running for Commissioner of Labor, which is a statewide race. That I've gotten the Democratic nomination. I'll be on the ballot November 8th.
That's fantastic. How's that going so far?
Well, it seems to be going fine. You know, I'm traveling mainly outside the triangle to get somewhat better known and to hear what people are concerned about. The Department of Labor is a department that hasn't done much for a while, so I think people understand it's time for a change there.
Very good. Change is what we like. Where are you originally from, Mayor Meeker? You're not from Raleigh originally, are you?
No, I grew up in the District of Columbia. My dad had served in World War II and got settler after the war, and we lived in the city.
Very good. Inside the Beltway.
There was no Beltway.
There was no Beltway back then, yeah.
This is inside the city before all the suburbs grew up.
Right. That's an incredible city. And what was your life like? Were you involved in politics at all as a young person?
Let me mention one thing about going to school there. We went to a progressive school that was just right near Washington in the Virginia suburbs, mm-hmm. and there were really good, not just language, but also both theater and singing programs. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, the Washington Opera Society needed some urchins to be in the production of Carmen. So they came out, and there were five or six of us who were recruited because we were both taking French and we were singing a little bit. Right. And we went in and we're in that production. So it was a lot of fun. And that was an influence on me, certainly, in terms of, the school was more than just the reading of books and things like that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know I was speaking to an opera singer.
Well, we had a very small part, but it was interesting. And actually, opening night, Jackie Kennedy came with Prime Minister Nehru of India. And most nights we went home after the first act when our role was done. But that night we stayed till the end and got to meet them.
Jackie. Wow, that's incredible. What a story. My next question for you was going to be, was theater or any of the arts a part of your life growing up? And you've kind of beat me to that.
Certainly had that experience. We also had painting, and there were all kinds of productions at this school, mainly singing productions and plays. Uh-huh. It was just a school that went through middle school, ninth grade. But it was really that was a key part of the education there and something that really has had an influence on all of us. Thomas Sayre, by coincidence, was a classmate.
Okay.
Not only is he a very well-known sculptor,
yes,
but he's, of course, a rock band musician from time to time. Mm-hmm. So I think it influenced him as well.
I can imagine. What about college after you passed? Is this school still around, the school?
Yeah, I haven't been there in years. It's grown. It's called the Potomac School. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if it has the same focus now. It does have a high school as well. But it's there in McLean, Virginia. It used to be way out in the horse country, and of course now it's out in the suburbs.
The very, very near suburbs. My wife, Simi, spent most of her young life in Bethesda, grew up in Bethesda, Maryland, and went to American University.
Sure.
So she ran in some of the same circles. She used to insist to me that D.C. was a southern city, and coming from Tennessee, I thought, well, that's crazy. You don't know southern.
Southern compared to New York or Philadelphia,
yes,
maybe,
indeed.
But not truly southern.
If you're coming from the north downward, it definitely feels like a southern city, and I guess it partially depends on who's in office at that time as well. What about college? Where did you go to university?
Went to Yale University for college in New Haven. I was there for 4 years, lived on campus.
Right.
It was a rather tumultuous period with all the student strikes and
the
Black Panthers and all that stuff that was going on in New Haven. An interesting time, though, and an outstanding university.
Did you ever have any contact with Robert Brustein while you were there?
No, he was then at the school, but I didn't know him personally. Mm-hmm.
He's one of the people that influenced my life. I've never met him either, but his writings are extraordinary and infuriating in equal measures, which probably means he's doing something right there. And then, so you studied politics at Yale as a political science?
Not so much. I was an American history major. Right. I guess I wasn't really sure where I was headed, and I ended up going to law school at Columbia University right after I finished college. Mm-hmm. So I went directly there.
And what part of American history were you enthusiastic about?
Well, I focused on the progressive era, particularly under Woodrow Wilson and when he came in 1913, sort of from then to 1921. Right. And of course, that got short-circuited in part by World War I.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of reform going on at that time.
Right. That's right. A fascinating time. Teddy Roosevelt was still sort of hanging around.
He was on the stage and had a huge influence on the conservation movement, which was just getting started, and other things in terms of antitrust and that kind of thing.
I've just finished a biography of Roosevelt that talks about his effort to save hundreds of thousands of acres of land and the opposite party. I think he was elected as a Republican, and so I guess the Democrats didn't like that. They didn't like him having that much power, and so they passed a law that said that the president can no longer unilaterally save land out west. And Roosevelt saved another 100,000 acres and then signed the bill.
Well, that sounds like something he would do. And it's interesting, those folks from the East Coast who actually got that conservation movement going.
That's right.
Not from people who lived in the less populated areas.
Sometimes you have to be looking in to see the value of something. You had a lot to do, as far as I can tell. I think a lot of people would agree with me on the extraordinary positive growth that has occurred in Raleigh over the last decade and a half or so. If you could sort of design a perfect city, what would it look like?
Well, it'd have a number of attributes that Raleigh has. Certainly a city that's very walkable, that has city centers, that have mid-rise buildings, 10, 15 stories. You don't need stuff that are 50 or 60. Certainly you want green space. You want to have very nice residential areas. You want to have some affordable housing and, of course, commercial areas. So I think those are the kind of things you want. People come to the city for a variety of reasons. One is for employment. Another is for education. A third is commerce. Mm-hmm. And, of course, culture and arts are a key part as well. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason we have cities. That's part of the reason people come here.
I think that's right. And it's working. It's working very well. Are there any particular places or events or moments in your tenure as mayor that you're particularly proud of?
Well, we're proud of lots of things. Of course, it was teamwork. It wasn't just one person. It was people working together. But certainly reopening Fayetteville Street and getting a convention center built helped get to spark all the private development downtown. We also did a lot of work on renovating parks, community centers, and building new ones, expanding the greenway system. When I got going, there were about 55 miles greenway. Now they're over 110, so it really got going. Okay. And then, of course, in the later years, all the sustainability efforts in terms of water conservation, the LED lighting, solar facilities, those then help make the city have a greener feel to it.
Two things that have been in the atmosphere since I moved here, but that haven't progressed a lot are the idea of a light rail system and then the Dorothea Dix property. Are you still involved in either of those things or keeping track of those?
Well, certainly keeping track of them. The light rail system has had a long, long history, and it is finally now going to be a transit plan put on the ballot this fall, focusing mainly on bus service and bus rapid transit and also commuter rail. Mm-hmm. That's been a long time in the making, and it's been a factor that's not so much the city's been involved with that, but the county. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a county board of commissioners that's really ready to get
that's
that rolling.
Enthusiastic about that. Yeah.
And then on Dix Hill, I worked long and hard, but the current administration, Nancy McFarland and her council, is the one that got it done.
They're really working hard.
Yeah. They're getting going on the master plan. It took literally years of negotiation. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get the prior governors to really come to the table and get a deal done.
Yes.
Nancy McFarland actually got two deals done, one a lease and now the acquisition. So the city's in a great spot. The master plan needs to get rolling and hopefully be implemented by the city over the next 10 to 15 years.
Very good. When you were mayor, I attended some of your events, some of your fundraisers and things like that as a private citizen. And I have to say that you were the first major politician that I heard in my lifetime mention the arts in a public, sort of campaign speech. I've heard them speak about it kind of in hushed tones, at parties and things like that. But to hear somebody get up on the stump, as it were, and talk about the arts in that way, was very meaningful to me, and I know to many of the people who work in the arts here in our area. Do you see the arts as a major player in the development of Raleigh, either in the past or going forward?
Well, the arts certainly are. Both performing and visual arts are key to our city, and that's one of the reasons so many people want to come here. So we have a very active art life. Yeah. You know, going back to that those early campaigns, part of what's going on in the campaign is you try to draw a contrast with your opponent on issues where you think you're right and perhaps he or she is not. Mm-hmm. And as you may recall, in 2001, the then mayor was cutting back on art funding and was not speaking positively about the arts. Mm-hmm. So I made a point of trying to talk about that. I think that's one of the things that resonated with the public and helped win the campaign.
When you think about social change, and we've used that word a couple of times, but certainly it's on the lips of a lot of the people involved in the presidential campaign and down the food chain, we keep hearing about change. Do the arts serve that function at all in the society, do you think?
Oh, I think definitely. The arts are always dealing with these controversial issues, sometimes in a contemporary setting, sometimes in a prior setting. But you are always seeing things that make you question your values. You'll see some things that shock you or surprise you, and you also see things that really lift you up. So I think the arts are in the middle of all that.
Well, that's good to hear. There seems to be, speaking of the national political scene right now, there seem to be some interesting things going on at the national level. Do you see these, what I perceive to be kind of tectonic shifts as a natural extension of the idea of democracy or populism, or do you see those shifts as representing something darker or both?
Well, there's really some of both, actually. Politics can be very ennobling, really lift you up. You think of the talks that President Obama has given from time to time, mm-hmm. You're always sort of proud of him and proud of our country. Right. Then you hear some of the things that have been said in the primaries or said by one of the candidates this spring, and you wonder what's going on. There mm-hmm. certainly is appealing to people's darker impulses. That's part of where our country is. It's not all one side or the other, and there's both things out there. Hopefully things will turn out okay in November. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that that's the case. I have to admit, though, this is the first year when, I in the past I've disagreed with certain candidates, but I wasn't really afraid of them. Mm-hmm. And this year there's really a candidate out there that really concerns me about the future of our country if he gets in charge.
Some of the candidates that we were deeply worried about in the past seem pretty good now by comparison, right?
You look back at some of the folks that didn't vote for in prior elections, and I'd be happy to have them on the ballot this year.
Happy to have them along now. We always talk with the young people about the value of arts. We have our summer camps running right now for middle school students this month and next month for high school students. And we talk to them about one of the things that happens when you walk into a theater is that you walk into a different world. You get to sort of see the world through the perspective of someone who doesn't necessarily look like you or talk like you or have the same set of experiences as you do. In effect, the theater or all performing arts not only allow you to see people and to meet people that you would not have met, but also allows you to imagine civilizations that you might never have imagined, and so we think that it's a useful tool. And those of us in the theater in the Triangle area and certainly beyond are very proud to have been represented by politicians like yourself who have some grasp of that, some understanding of it, and we really appreciate that, and we appreciate the other work that you did in opening up, for instance, the Fayetteville Street Mall and bringing the business that you brought downtown over the years. So thank you very much. I just wanted to personally say that.
Well, thank you, Jerry. And as I mentioned, it really is a question of teamwork. And when good things are happening in the public sector as well as the private sector, it's people working together to try to accomplish shared goals. And we were fortunate to get a lot of work done when I was there.
Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our
listeners? No, I think you've covered it. It's always great to be here at Burning Coal. And look forward to coming back soon.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Okay.